Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Thursday. Although it's kind of a Thursday that feels like Friday in here on the Jeff Calkins Show. Well, it's kind of a blend. Here's what's happening. As it so happens, I am going to a wedding this weekend. And not only am I going to a wedding this weekend, it's in Maine. It's my niece.
You are the third person in the last 2 weeks I know that's gone to Maine. And I know yours was technically probably scheduled, but Neil, my old boss, they just went up to Maine.
Why did they go to Maine?
Just to trip him and his wife.
Just to Acadia National Park kind of thing?
I think it was like eating some lobster, like seeing the foliage and whatnot.
Really?
And then my old eighth grade English teacher, our SID at MUS, him and his dad just on a whim went last week. He wanted some lobster.
Well, you want a lot. You can get it. You know they fly it here for you. You can get it.
He wanted it fresh.
You can get it shipped. You can get live lobster shipped. I'm going to Maine, and I am. Yeah, I'm the officiant. Have you been to weddings where you know it's not the minister and it's not a judge. It's someone
that knows
who went to the church of the internet, who they had to get something from the church of the internet. Yeah, just some random acquaintance of the bride and groom, or the bride and bride, depending on whatever, the groom and groom.
So one of my friends married a couple of our friends, and because they also got married in the church, though, he did half the sermon and the minister did half the sermon.
Well, that's different. There was a minister at least present.
Correct, but the bad part was he was way better than the minister.
Well, I mean, it is a little weird. I have now a degree, a divinity degree, or whatever you call it, a certificate from the Church of the Internet. And so if any of you need me to do your wedding, hey, I'm available for a low fee. I'm doing it gratis for my relatives. But, I mean, I am the guy who is going to pronounce them man and wife by the power invested in me.
A lot of pressure.
By the state of Maine and the people on the Internet. And then the other problem is, Jeffrey, is that I have to come up with some words.
Yeah, that's tough.
I mean, I'm not just saying, repeat after me, I, Charlotte, take you, Scott. You know, for Richard, I haven't even really started working on that part. But I need to have some words about the couple. And there's a lot of pressure here. Now, I do talk a lot, But, you know, I can't, on the radio show, I can use Jeffrey's bets and stuff to fill up time. You know, like here, this is just going to be me. But anyway, I'm going to Maine, and that means I'm flying out, at least theoretically, because I do think that one thing we have started to see, Jeffrey, is some flight delays. Have you noticed that? There's been a lot of flight delays.
So, obviously, since I'm going out of town this week,
You're going to?
I'm going to Florida. Golf trip with my dad and brothers.
Flying?
Yes.
Flying. Okay. Well, we're in the same fix. Have you been paying attention? I have now been paying attention.
So it looked like our Memphis International issues were solved on Tuesday, maybe?
Did you see that there was two nights ago, we were running Nashville.
Yeah.
Like the Nashville airport. Every flight in and out of Nashville was being run through Memphis. Like it was as it should be. Honestly, we had
like
control.
It once was.
But I am a little worried.
Your hub closed first.
I am a little worried that that I'm going to be a bit waylaid, and of course, I'm deeply worried that you're going to be waylaid. Mm-hmm. But what is the upshot for the radio show is that you're going to be in Florida, and I'm going to be in Maine, and this studio, much like the Nashville Tower, is going to be unmanned.
Correct.
It's going to be unmanned. And so, Drew Hill, is that who we got?
Yep.
Oh, that's good.
Drew and George.
Drew and George are going to be taking over, and they are going to be walking you through the day tomorrow, which is perfect timing because, like, no one more deeply immersed in the Grizzlies and the NBA as the season bears down upon us than Drew Hill. And George is a man of many talents.
Of course.
But the NBA is one of his special, college football is another, right? Like, so they will be, like, I probably have more confidence in them than whoever's in the tower tonight, tomorrow when I take off.
That's right? Probably fair.
But we're both going to be gone. And so then the question was to do what to do with Jeffrey's Bets. We can't take a week off. We don't have a bye week. Jeffrey's Bets doesn't get a bye week. Doesn't get a bye week.
Listen, I need one. I mean, the team is just absolutely running thin.
We have not, I'm going to knock on everything here. We've not had a losing week.
No, we've had a couple of 500 weeks, but
we've not had a losing week. We've literally not had a losing week.
We're just turning profits.
Steady, steady profits. That's what you like to see. There was one that was one big spike at week two, whatever.
Week one, but the second week we did bets.
Yeah. But other than that, it's just been grinding it out, man. Just grinding out W's. And so we were like, what do we do with that? And I thought, you know, we could record it and make it easier on Drew and George tomorrow if we recorded that segment. And then I thought, nah, let's just take it for ourselves. So today it's a rare day. We are going to be combining. We're going to still have trivia, aren't we? Going to have trivia?
Absolutely. I'm probably going to be more gettable on trivia today.
Because you're distracted.
Correct.
You're distracted. So we've got a very busy
day. I'm having to finalize a card right now.
It's the two of us chatting as we do right now. Then we're going to do Jeffrey's Bets early. Then we're going to have Chris Harrington. And then we're going to have trivia. What's the fabulous prize that people will be playing for?
Jeff, we've got tickets to the corn maze, so you will get to go enjoy the corn maze, a wonderful fall tradition
out at Shelby Farms. That is fun.
Yes.
Do you like the horror corn maze?
Not really. I like the corn maze.
It's exactly how I am. I don't like anything scary.
I mean, it's not even that, like...
I don't like scary. I was in there just... There was one day I was in there. I think it's because they did it in the shape of Marc Gasol's face or something. So I was out there writing a column, and I was in the corn maze just walking around, and they turned on the Halloween music.
Yep.
And I was instantly instantly terrified. So I don't need the horror corn maze, but I do like the corn maze. And you get how many? Two? Four? Two?
I believe it's two.
Tickets to the corn maze. All you have to do is play honorably, and if you can best Jeffrey, so much the better. I'll applaud you for that. But either way, play honorably. You will get two tickets to the corn maze. That is the lineup. One last thing on the wedding, Jeffrey, and then we'll move on to the world of sports. This is my sister Ellen and her daughter Charlotte, Marion Scott, and Charlotte. I lose count, honestly. That among the nine of us children in the Calkins family, there are 30 plus nieces and nephews. I don't know whether it's 32, 35, whatever. Like, it's a lot. We all had, you know, whatever. We all had three or four kids, right? And but she and I like and admire and love a lot of their partners. She is the first one of all 30 plus who has been able to bring home a Buffalo Bills fan. How about that? Scott Carruthers, a Buffalo Bills fan. But the weird thing about this wedding is it's at a camp in Maine.
You got to drop a Go Bills, right?
Go Bills. Go Bills. Yeah. 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 There's
no question. I got to pronounce you man and wife. Make kiss the bro light.
Go Bills.
Yeah.
I got to write that. There you go.
Yeah.
Go Bills. Yeah. That's it. Okay. And
maybe thank Josh during the remarks, like how much better all of everyone's life got when Josh came in.
Well, I am going to say, at one point I'm going to say, you know, I'm Jeff Calkins. I'm the uncle of the, because people don't know who I am. It's sure. 200 people there. I'm Jeff Calkins. I'm the uncle and of the
host of the number one rated sports talk show and best of Memphis columnist.
I'm not going to say any of that.
15 times in a row.
And it's very clear that I was chosen for the honor because among all of her relatives, I am the biggest Buffalo Bills fan. And if anyone understands for better or for worse, it's a fan of the Buffalo Bills.
Absolutely.
That is a joke that I will use.
Yes.
If that qualifies as a joke. The damnedest thing is, though, it's at a camp. Like, people are staying at the camp. It's at a camp that in the summer is a summer camp, and now it's off season. We're staying in cottages. Not heated.
Mm.
How about that? It's That's Maine tough. In October.
That's tough.
Not heated.
That's the elements.
Not heated. Ben, my son, in New York, is bringing a girlfriend. And he said, I told him, now mind you, we're staying in cottages, and they're not heated. And he said, or cabins. And he said, well, that's good. It'll be a good way to test her grit.
Mm.
Right?
Well, I mean, truly. I mean, see if also, can she handle Bill's weather?
She's a whiner.
Yeah.
And see if she's a whiner, right? So, anyway.
I would not pass that test.
I'm sure. You would be miserable.
Oh, God.
I'm sure there's no TV and there's no heat.
God,
no heat.
If there's no cell reception, and I can't even watch football on my phone. Oh, my God.
I
so
suspect
miserable.
Everyone has cell reception. Anyway, onward we go. That's the lineup. We got Jeffrey Spetz coming up next, then Chris Harrington, and then writer, then write trivia. Interesting day today, among other things. Do you know Cal's in town?
I did not.
Yeah, Cal's in town. And he's in town, I gather, for some Arkansas stuff, but also might be popping around to bring the Fandemonia back
he's not popping in on our show.
Okay, here's the truth. It was suggested to me that he might come on our show, right? And I'd be I would love to have John on the show. Happy to have John on the show. But as you know, like John and I, like
you're miserable.
He doesn't like me, mm-hmm. right? You know what I mean? I don't know if he still doesn't like me, but he didn't like me.
Does John seem like the guy that lets a grudge go?
Yeah, that's the thing. And so, honestly, I just said, you know, I'd be happy to have John. I'd love to have John on the show. But it would probably be more comfortable, like, for John to go on with Jason and John.
Sure.
So I don't think his schedule's ironed out, and I don't know if he's going to. And again, I would be happy and love to have John on the show. Because I do think he always had a sense of humor about it. Like, he did when he did the roast. He had me roast him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was for a good cause and whatever else. I think the whole thing was overblown, that whole little whatever it was, because I celebrated that team and John and whatever else as enthusiastically.
You're telling me John might be a showman?
As anyone else. But I just said, you know what, if he has time, because he's popping around town today, if he does have time to pop onto 92.9, we would love to have him. But I think if you go, like if you rank me, John, and Jason, I don't think he knew Gabe, and I don't think he knew you particularly, but of the people, I think Jason's the one he probably likes the best, honestly. And so I said, yeah.
That's probably wise.
So we may get, anyway, he's and I continue to say that that tickets are available for the Hoops for St. Jude event, and I do hope that pretty soon they're going to start releasing the names of the players who will be here, because I think that will help build enthusiasm for it. And I'm told that, you know, maybe as many as half the players who played under John will be back. Like, it's going to be a big turnout. I don't know if Derrick Rose is going to be here, but I suspect Antonio Anderson will be there, right? And Robert Dozier will be there. There will be a lot of players from that era who you can turn out and celebrate, and good tickets are still available. John is popping around Memphis today. So say hello if you see him and buy a ticket. Go ahead and do that. It's all for the good cause, for the kids, from the St. Jude kids. The Grizzlies sorta played last night. What would you say about this game, Jeffrey?
The hustle played in Grizzlies jerseys in front of a lot of empty seats.
Yeah. And the Celtics went with more of their starters. I mean, the Grizzlies were already down Jaren. They're already down Ja. They're already down Zach. They're already down.
I mean, God's watching. Did you know what Lawson Lovering was before last night?
I was going to get to Lawson Lovering.
Because I did not. I'll put my hand up.
The starters, Javon Small, who wasn't there, wasn't available for the first game. Got 28 minutes in this game, by the way. Cedric Coward, we'll get to him. Santi and Jalen Wells must have drawn the short straws.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and because they started, and then Lawson Lovering, whose work you may not be familiar with.
And I was not.
Google him. What's his deal? Where did Lawson Lovering? Where did we discover Lawson Lovering?
Okay, Colorado and Utah. One of those I could have predicted. That guy just feels like he played center at Utah.
What do we know about him?
Four-year college player, started at Colorado, started his 34 games as a sophomore, 28 games last year, and then played in 33. His junior year at Utah, started 24. He averaged...
he's fresh out of college? He's a rookie?
Yes, he was a senior last year.
What's his height and weight?
He is 7 feet 220 from Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Well, there you go. Lawson Lovering. He got the start.
For his career, he has averaged 5.7 points per game and 4.3 rebounds in 19.8 minutes.
In?
The Pac-12 and the Big 12.
That's a pretty thin. Let's be honest. If he were being recruited to play for the Tigers, you wouldn't be blown away.
No, I could spin zone it, though.
No. Yeah, but like those numbers are not like...
Correct.
So in addition to the Brent Clark, also to the wounded, there was no KCP, there was no Ty Jerome, there was no Scottie Pippen Jr. Like this was definitely the B team or the C team. Along with Santi and Jalen Wells. So does it matter that they were down 68-45 at the half, that they lost by 20, basically? No, it does not. Grizzlies got blown out. Drew Hill wrote about this in the Daily Memphian this morning. You can read it. And he said, okay, well, I get it's preseason. It doesn't matter, whatever. But can we just be honest a minute and say this has been a tough watch?
Yes, it has been.
It is like, it has been a tough watch, man. I mean, you got to really, if you paid for a ticket for that last night, holy smokes.
To your point, we all take the preseason pledge. We don't overreact. I did clear some room in my brain of like, what if this start is bad? Which is something we talked about before preseason that we acknowledged could happen. Now, there's like a soft-ish start, but
I mean, yes. I mean, the truth of the matter is John Jaren will presumably be there. And so it's going to be very different. It will be very different than last night. I do think they're, you know, I mean, because they're thin at bigs to begin with, and then they're injured at bigs, it could be a very rough start.
Correct. And they can't rebound. Like, it's not a great rebounding team, and their only rebounders
start
not there.
People will immediately start to make judgments about Isolo. They'll make judgments about Cedric Coward. They're going to make like that. That's just now. I said we're talking about Chris yesterday, and he says, I don't care what people think. I don't care what people have lots of opinions. People say all kinds of things. Yes, that's fine. But I'm just telling you that everyone won't be calm about this. They'll either be grumpy. A few will have appropriate perspective, but they'll either otherwise they'll be grumpy or disinterested.
I totally agree.
I think I continue to wonder, like, this is their 25th anniversary season. There just seems to be no momentum and no celebration, no reminder of
campaign.
What the franchise, there's no, yeah. So whatever. It could get ugly. Cedric Coward did.
Well, I wanted to discuss this with you. Mm-hmm. So, if you watched on TV last night and the other night, like, it's jarring the number of empty seats.
I don't think it's jarring at all.
I understand it's preseason and whatnot, but like, I was struck by this on Saturday. Was it Saturday or Sunday? What was the open practice?
Saturday.
The crowd was like shocking in the positive.
Right.
Like, what's the disconnect?
Oh, well, there's a couple things.
Is it just the money? How expensive?
I think people know. Well, yeah, an open practice is free. And John Jaren are, if they're not participating, they're at least there to talk. And
yeah.
Like, they are part of the deal.
Show.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas here, you know you're not seeing Ja in any way, really. You're not seeing Jaren in any way. And you're paying money for it. And so it's not a – I'm not worried about – like, I'm not at all worried about preseason attendance. I am worried about attendance because I wouldn't even be worried about attendance except for the fact – that they don't sign their
the
lease.
Context.
You know, and in the end, well, and it's just a weird time. I mean, we got the news yesterday after the show about what are the numbers call up the Daily Memphian? How many National Guards people are going to be here and how long are they going to be here through 26? 1,000? It said 1,000. There was something about 1,000. And here's the truth. Whatever you think about what's happening in Memphis,
Pete Hegseth could authorize the use of up to 1,000 Tennessee National Guard troops.
And people have very different opinions about it. Like, for example, I have my opinion, but I was walking into Yogi yesterday, and a friend was walking out, and I said, yeah, these are weird times in Memphis. That's all I said. Odd times. How are you? I'm good. This is odd times. That's it. I didn't say odd times good. He said, yeah, but sure is nice that 240 is better, right?
So sure.
They're very clearly like people have very different opinions on all of this, and I get that. At least the experience in Washington, D.C. is that the presence of the National Guard does not, in fact, encourage people to come out. It encourages people to stay home. That's what we saw in D.C. You could argue, and who knows, maybe it'll be different here. Maybe people say, I've been itching to get down to FedEx Forum. All I needed was the National Guard on the corner, and now I'm going to go. I honestly think it's like, it is a further reminder that, what a mess things are. And I just don't think I'll deal with that. National Guard, at least that was the experience in D.C. The experience in D.C. was people did not go out to restaurants as much. So do I think that this is going to help? Maybe long term, but who knows? I'm not even weighing in on that now. I'm just weighing in on this is a critical year for the Grizzlies because they haven't signed a lease. And I don't think having all this fracas actually is going to encourage more people to go out. Maybe long term, whatever, it's fine. But I don't believe, maybe it will. Maybe there's thousands of you who've just been waiting for the National Guard to be there before you come out. I don't think so. I hope so. So it's just a weird time. And I've said this before, Jeffrey, that as we wonder why the lease hasn't been signed yet, you know, they want assurances that the neighborhood and that the downtown's going to be vibrant and that they're going to, and I get all that, right? That's fine. There's no benchmark. It's not like, well, when murders decrease to 150, that's the moment we'll sign the lease, right? And so the easiest benchmark to whether downtown feels vital and whether is attendance. Like, it's just attendance, which is weird because attendance actually has a lot to do with a lot of things having nothing to do with downtown. John Martin wrote about this with the Tigers today. Whatever you think about downtown, not downtown, whatever else, if that team were ranked third in the country and had come in off of a Final Four, the Memphis Tigers, people would say, I don't give a damn. I'm getting down there to support them. That's what would happen. And if the Oklahoma City Thunder played in with the Grizzlies, people would be there in droves, right? Like, I don't think, like, what has happened and will happen with attendance might have something to do with downtown this year. But what it really has to do with is that 2 years ago, they collapsed and you were watching the Hustle in Grizzlies uniforms.
Yep.
Not their fault, but that is the reality.
Yes,
right?
Totally agree.
And then last year, you never knew if Ja was going to be healthy or not. They absolutely belly flopped down the stretch and they got blown out in the four-game series, totally hopeless to the Thunder. And now it seems there's basically no celebration of the 25th year, no reminder of what they mean to, like, what I think the downtown stuff is part of it. But you know, what's really a lot of it is what the team has given you the last 2 years. And so, but that's not what it's going to look like is, I don't know if this town is capable of supporting the Grizzlies. Well, maybe they just feel disconnected from these Grizzlies because of what has happened over the last 2 years. That is my assessment. Not that the other stuff doesn't matter, but in fact, again, if they were a team that was picked to finish second in the West, and you knew that 70 games a year you could go down there and watch Ja, and what I don't, and so it is a weird year. And it's an unfortunate year to be in betwixt and between is all I'm saying. It's given the timing of everything, it's an unfortunate year to be in betwixt and between.
I totally agree, because I think this is also, the converse is true. Yes, you could have all the problems we have downtown and with everything. If the building was full, I don't think this would be an issue.
Right. Yeah, exactly right. People, and I think that more of the attendance issues for both the Tigers and the Grizzlies, as we took now, it's 2 days in a row we've talked about this. I think it is more driven by the disappointing performances of those franchises and the product that is offered than it is by whatever struggles the city of Memphis is having. Except for the fact that, like, if you start from the baseline that Memphis is a smaller, poorer city,
right,
and whatever else. But in terms of, like, well, why has there been a dip? And I think the dip has been because of what you, the Tigers, have offered us, a schlock schedule, a no Sweet 16 since 2009, and what you, the Grizzlies, have offered us over the last 2 years, which is a total mayhem of a team 2 years ago, and then a belly-flopping team last year.
Yes. I mean,
people honestly didn't like very much.
Yeah, and I mean, then the whole weirdness of, you know, the moodiness of Ja, then the off-court stuff, like, it's been just kind of exhausting.
I didn't know we were going to be talking about this. But here we go. This is where you end up. Cedric Coward did get minutes last night.
And hit some field goals.
Hey, 9 points in the fourth quarter. If he can average 9 points in all quarters going forward,
might be a hit.
Rookie of the year.
Could be a hit.
Rookie of the year.
Could be a hit.
Rookie of the year candidate. I know some of you wanted to judge him based on his first game or based on this first three quarters last night.
We said not so fast.
I said not so fast. Not so fast. 4-13. 0-5 from three. You saw his stroke on those free throws, though. 7-7 on the free throws. Six rebounds, two steals. We'll talk to Chris about what he saw from Cedric Coward. Also, nice to see Josh Minot, speaking of Memphis Tigers, running up and down the court, looking as athletic as ever.
I also learned that Luka Garza's on the Celtics. Didn't know that.
Yeah. All right. Other things we have to talk about, because we're going to get to Jeffrey's bets here in a moment. And so some other things I did want to talk about. Big night in Philadelphia today, because you got the Giants Eagles, right?
And you got baseball. MetLife.
And you got baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And you got baseball. And so so I it does feel like, again, we had the earlier headline about the Eagles on ESPN. I saw fleetingly on the TV as I was talking here on Tuesday, I think it was. Are the Eagles on the verge of collapse?
Mm.
And then there was, I don't know if it was a team meeting, but we had the principals. Hertz and Brown and Saquon, I think, had a discussion.
Right? I think I wouldn't say team meeting. I think each individually had meetings with one another.
And they, what do you think was said?
Stop tweeting.
But I don't think, well, what would you have said if you were Jalen Hurts and you were talking to AJ Brown? What would you have said? What would the message be?
We've got to figure out the best way. Like, it's about winning. And I do think, remember we talked about this, Josh's last year with Steph, and since I ended up watching more of the Bills than you did, I was like, I would text you and tell you,
right,
I think a big problem is it feels like
he's forcing it.
He's forcing it to Steph, and it's like everybody knew it. And I did feel like last week they were trying to force it to AJ. Now, I'm also not saying it's a bad play to get AJ Brown the ball, but it feels like it's not in service of what's best for the team.
Yeah, I do think when you're talking to him, I imagine there is, yo, we just got to, you know, wins matter, whatever else. But there will absolutely be some, hey, I get it, man. Don't you think there's some
sure.
of that? I get it. You want to make plays. To me, you're the best receiver in the league, and I want you to get involved. You know, we got to keep working on it, and we will get you the ball. But in the meantime, like, as we do that, let's just, you know.
We got to win games.
Let's keep it internal, right?
Yeah.
Let's keep it internal. Let's be upbeat, whatever else. Do you think there's much of a chance that they'll actually trade him?
I really don't.
Maybe in the offseason?
Yeah, I mean, I could see that, but like, I
can definitely see it in the offseason.
What, is deadline 2 weeks?
Is it that soon? We did have a corner trade last night.
We had a corner trade, and obviously we had the Flacco trade.
Those seem, it's got to be, it's more than 2 weeks.
I always feel like it's you're 100% right. I was like, I always feel like it's Halloween, but it's November the 4th. So we have basically a little under a month.
Only if it blows up will there be a deal. I mean, they're in a position to win a Super Bowl, and they're much better positioned to win a Super Bowl if they have.
That's the other thing I was thinking about. Listen, nobody would be happier than myself if it did blow up on the Eagles. Didn't we do this exact same thing last year? They were like 2-2,
and here's the truth: is there might be drama now, but once you get into the playoffs, it will just all be about winning. And this, I hate to say this, Jeffrey, I don't mean to disparage your Giants. Feels like a good get right.
It feels now, like Jalen Hurts in his last 7 games is favored by a touchdown or more, 0-7 ATS.
Really?
Feels like a good
What's
spot
the
to
line?
Get right. 7.5 last I saw.
That is happening tonight. Bill Belichick is fully committed.
Yes.
He is fully
committed. So is Bubba Cunningham.
Committed, and Bubba Cunningham, the AD, also fully committed. Here's how committed Bill Belichick is, by the way. His contract, he's making 10.1.
Yep. It ninth is, highest paid coach.
Amazingly, incredibly. Ninth highest paid coach in the country. But it's fully guaranteed for 3 years. And then it's 0% guaranteed after that. And there was a piece in USA Today about this and about how extraordinary that is to go from fully to zero. Like, most don't do that, right? I don't consider that particularly relevant, because if this blows up, it'll blow up. We're not going to get to year three.
I wonder if we get to next week.
That's the thing.
And it does already feel like it's over.
Well, particularly because their way out is 40 freshmen. Like, that's not going to.
That's not how you do this.
It's not how you do this. It's also not how you now, given what a disaster you have. You've created, you need to turn it around a little more quickly. So even if it would be a way to get to be good, which it doesn't seem to be in the modern era of college football, it is not the way. You need an infusion of respectability, you know, and bringing in a massive freshman class with a lot of 3-stars, honestly, I just don't think that's going to get you there. Do you think he will be the head coach game one next year?
No.
Incredible.
I mean, I trust the guys that were reporting yesterday are very good. And
who reported that there'd already been discussions, basically, were the reports
so
yesterday.
Ollie Connolly even had like quotes from coaches on the staff. Like, he is like, one, like, what we did to these kids is effed up. Like, it's over. Like, it feels like they're negotiating the buyout.
That is just brutal. All right. And then we had baseball. Obviously, three of these series, three teams were able to stave off elimination last night. Philly trails 2-1. The Dodgers, the Detroit-Seattle series, fabulous. Fabulous, right? You're still all in Seattle?
Yeah, I thought yesterday was bad for my Mariners.
Well, I think it was better. Now they got Scooble.
That's the problem. I don't know how many times you're going to see Scooble twice and beat him.
That's the problem. That was the opportunity.
Like that, you had them down 3-0, and it felt like all the momentum was on your side. And credit to Detroit, like a team that their offense has been their problem all year. Like they showed some real fight, and now, like they got to feel like they've got house money just going back to Seattle. It's like I don't even know if they, like in the fifth inning, I wonder if they even thought like we'd even have this chance. It was like all the pressure's now on Seattle.
And then we had the Yanks eliminated.
God, Jeff, I didn't get any sleep last night.
Yanks eliminated 5. Aaron Judge, layoff, man. He hit 500 in this series.
It was not his fault.
It was absolutely not his fault. Really, it was more starting pitching, probably. Like you would say not last night particularly, but it was starting pitching, and maybe it wasn't even anybody's fault. Maybe it was just that the Blue Jays were really good.
I think the Blue Jays, over the course of 162 games, were a better team. Yeah. It felt like that.
Vlad hit 529 with 3 home runs. I mean, that's pretty good.
They had a great – did you see the Fox post-game show, him and Big Poppy just having a Yankees – oh, God, I watched that many
times. And when you realize that this whole season started with a contract impasse with Vlad, that's a nice turn of events. For Canada, but I think the Blue Jays were just better. 34-19 in a 4-game series. That's where they outscored them. 34-19.
Pretty definitive.
They were just the better team. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to a day early. So alert everyone you know who centers their investments around Jeffrey's bets. We will do that when we return. Jeff Calkins, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Since I'm making bank, this should be the time when I tell you about my bank. Leaders Credit Union is my new financial institution. And I'll be honest, I didn't know anything about Leaders Credit Union before they came to us and said, listen, we're expanding. We're having a bigger presence in Memphis, and we want to be able to offer our services to the folks in Memphis as well. I didn't know much about them at all. And then I looked into it. We always used to have a credit union at the CA when I was there, and I didn't really understand it. But then I came to realize that what it means is that every single dollar, instead of paying stockholders, every single dollar goes back into the rates and the service and the technology, and it makes sense that it's a great way to handle your finances, honestly. And so we signed, and it's been terrific. It's been terrific. Leaders Credit Union, if you're looking for a new home loan, new car loan, if you're just fed up with your bank, if you know someone who's setting up a new bank account, tell them about Leaders. It's what I did with Claire and then her sons as well. All thrilled with our experience there. The technology is incredibly easy. They have if you want to walk in, they have a branch in Bartlett you can walk into, and a brand new branch in Arlington you can walk into, but you can just download the app, see what I'm talking about. It's leaderscu.com/ESPN. I am making bank because, and again, this year I went into Leaders and I said, as I do in August, I said, do you have any like really fresh $100 bills back there? And they gave me the 10 freshest, crispest $100 bills. Maybe there was a little more hesitation handing them over to Jeffrey than usual because the last 2 years have not been as productive as all the years that came before. But I did. I handed them over. That's the thing. Yeah, I'm not like a – can't time the market. you just got to hand it over to Jeffrey. I handed the money over to Jeffrey, those $1,000 bills. And as we're halfway through the season? Where are we, Jeffrey?
So, Jeff, we're starting at week 7. I do believe this is a 2-bye week year. So I think it'll be 14 weeks of regular season and then championship week.
All right, and my $1,000, how much has it become?
Jeff, after 6 weeks of wagering, 42-29-2, that's a 59.2% win percentage, and your $1,000 is now $2,000 or $2,045.
Look at that. Doubled, baby. Asterisk, this is not investing. This is
correct. This is like Tunico. Remember they used to say double your paycheck.
This is not investing.
Does anybody else remember that? Just
gambling. But boy, is it going well. All right, how's that? You feel about the card?
Jeff, I'm a little scared that I kind of like the card this week. I feel like I'm at my best when I bet scared. But there's some ones out there that I don't know, man. They're speaking to me, and I just closed my eyes, Jeff.
He likes the card. That is a little terrifying.
And I was letting the board just do its thing.
All right.
Jeff, I would like to start in Denton, Texas on Friday night. We got two Friday plays this week. Did you see that the University of North Texas canceled classes for Friday so that everybody could get in the right mindset and the right mind frame for when South Florida comes to town?
I did not see that. They canceled classes. Oh, that persuaded you.
I'm all in, baby. Give me North Texas. It's a pick'em.
You want North Texas in a pick'em. By the way, if we really are on this bring game day to Memphis train,
I do think you would prefer South Florida to win.
Then you want South Florida.
Correct.
But, well, this is good because one way I'll get rich.
Correct.
And one way game day will be coming to
correct.
Town. But you like North. Do you have any beyond the canceled classes logic? Do you have any other logic as to why you're picking?
I think both sides of the ball, they're very good. So North Texas offensively had been very good under Eric Morris. So what happened different last year was when the Sam Houston State staff went to Temple to take the Temple job. Yep. He took the defensive coordinator from Sam Houston State who wanted to stay in Texas. He brought 6 or 7 of his guys, and their defense has been pretty solid. I think both sides of the ball, they're really good. Home team, a lot of travel for South Florida.
All right, Texas it is.
I've kind of been leaning that way that North Texas, every time I watch them, I leave pretty impressed. Jeff, we got a principal play.
Yep.
Where's Rutgers?
Rutgers in New Jersey.
Piscataway, I believe.
Is it Piscataway? Okay.
Where's the University of Washington?
It's out there in Seattle. It's a long way away. I've driven past it. I've walked on the campus. It's
beautiful.
Yeah. It's gorgeous.
Absolutely gorgeous. Stunning.
The New Jersey people are going to love it.
Correct. They're not going to love what's going to happen. I'll lay 10.5 with Washington.
Washington minus 10.5. Because Rutgers is going to be bewitched by the surroundings and jet-lagged, and they will not be able to be at their very best. So we like the Huskies minus 10.5.
Also, if you're someone out there that would rather bet totals, just heads up. Rutgers is not what you think when you think Greg Schiano. They can't stop anybody.
Oh, really?
No. So Rutgers overs have not exactly been the worst thing. All right, Jeff, let's go to beautiful East Lansing.
Mm-hmm.
What happened at the Rose Bowl last week?
UCLA pulled off a massive, massive upset, and now they're going to ride the momentum straight on the rest of the season.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, Okay, I got the first part right.
They carried their offensive coordinator off the field.
They carried him off the field, young Mr. Neuheisel.
Correct. Now they've got to saddle up, head to East Lansing, 11 a.m. Central Time, 9 a.m. Pacific body time. I think this is a good spot for the Spartans. They were frisky against Nebraska last week, but they had massive, massive turnover problems. I heard you say earlier,
can't stop throwing interceptions.
Cannot stop throwing interceptions.
That'll get in the
way. You know what will help?
What?
UCLA's defense.
Oh, there you go. Michigan State minus 8.5 over UCLA.
Jeff, let's go to Columbia, Missouri.
Mm-hmm. It's a big one.
Listen, I think it's entirely possible that we took this weird circuitous route, and I thought coming into the season, Alabama was going to be the best team in the SEC, but week one spooked us. Here's the problem. This is the third straight big game for Alabama. Missouri has been just laying in wait. Everybody thinking Missouri stinks. I think this line stinks. Give me the Tigers plus three.
You want Missouri plus three?
I want Missouri plus three.
Now,
Kalen DeBoer away from home, 2-6.
On the game day thing,
yep.
I think we want Alabama because Missouri's going to Vandy that weekend. So we want Missouri to lose.
Or you want Missouri to lose to Auburn next week.
Okay, that's fine. Either one. You like Missouri plus three over Alabama. Next.
Jeff, let's go to Champaign, Illinois. I think we might have rediscovered a principle.
What's the principle? Ohio State's the principle? That's the principle?
No one scores on them. No one scores. Not Illinois. We only have to lay 14. We're going to do it. They have not given up
multiple touchdowns in one game this year.
What's
the Frank Broyles Award? Is that what it's called?
Chris, for the top assistant.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is very much
in the running.
I would say the
favorite. Overwhelming
heavy favorite. Yes.
Ohio State minus 14 over Illinois. Next. Don't you feel bad for Washington State? A lot of fight songs today.
This, of course, Oregon's fight song. You're going to be hearing it all day in Eugene, Oregon, when the Ducks are going to quack all over those frauds from Indiana. I'll lay the 7.5.
Look for your
alt lines. Find it all.
You're sticking with the Oregon. You're sticking with the Indiana is a fraud.
And it's also they're traveling. And
a principal.
Correct.
Okay, that's fine.
Signetti as an underdog on the road has been outscored massively.
Did you skip Ole Miss? On my card, you did.
Okay, Ole Miss minus 32.5. Lane Kiffin as a home favorite in non-conference games, 14-3-1. He also likes to run it up and juice the metrics. Washington State's just going to be happy to be there.
Don't you feel bad for the Washington State lads?
I feel bad for the fans.
That's it. I feel bad for the fans. Anyway, Ole Miss minus 32.5, and then Oregon minus 7.5 over Indiana.
Jeff, it's the Red River Shootout. We don't play the games. It's not rivalry. It's the Red River Shootout. We all know what it is. I don't buy that John Mateer is playing. If John Mateer were playing, you wouldn't be hearing anything. So that means they're going to be playing Michael
Hawkins. Who's favorite in this game?
That would be Texas's favorite.
Unranked Texas.
Correct.
Is favored.
Correct.
Over.
Arch has been bad. I'm not here to spin that. He's not as bad as Michael Hawkins Jr. Also, this game exists in its own universe. It never makes any sense. There's no reason Texas should win the game. Give me Texas minus one.
But if Mateer were playing.
Oh, you. Michael Hawkins stinks. That was our 45.5 got home last week. Nobody beats Kent State by 45.5.
Texas minus one over Oklahoma. Next.
Jeff, I think BC might be on a quit watch. And Clemson is really, really finding its form now that they've gotten in that nice, soft ACC schedule. Going to start getting some vibes going. It started last week in Chapel Hill. I actually think Clemson away from home right now is kind of a comfort spot because they can really dig in and bunker in together, get in that foxhole with one another. Give me Clemson. I'll lay the 14.
Clemson minus 14 over Boston College.
Jeff, we've got our emotional hedge of the week.
This is a big one. This is a big one, baby. Yeah.
Georgia goes to Auburn. Hugh Freeze in one score games, 2-8 at Auburn. 2-8. I just wanted everybody to know that. He's not actually a good football coach. I'm taking Auburn.
Why?
Plus 3.5.
Why?
I think Georgia's losing one of the next two games. I think it's a good spot
You're
for
taking Auburn.
It's Auburn
plus 3.5.
Okay, you've covered games there. Auburn at night is a different place.
It is a great atmosphere. One of the great underrated atmospheres, honestly. And a little bit, you know, they got the hedges. They kind of ripped off the hedges, right? The hedges took them from Georgia.
Correct. I don't think Georgia's Georgia.
You don't think Georgia's Georgia?
Correct.
And plus it's an emotional hedge for
Correct.
You.
Either way, I win.
Be happy. Auburn plus 3.5 over Georgia. And finally.
There's one more I forgot on the card too.
Yeah.
Jeff, let's go to Baton Rouge. LSU favored by 9 against South Carolina. I don't know how LSU's offense should be favored by two touchdowns against anyone. Just give me 9 points.
Kind of crazy there. And you're going to add one.
Jeff, I think the wrong team is favored. This goes against one of my principal plays. I do not like betting on the teams that are going from one end of the country to
that.
The other.
I've established that now. Yeah.
I watched Illinois run all over USC. I know Michigan can run all over USC. I think the wrong team's favored. Give me Michigan plus 2.5.
Michigan plus 2.5 over USC, even though those Wolverines are traveling.
Correct. Run game travels.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this has been a special edition of Jeffrey's Bets. We had to do it today because we are both out tomorrow. Drew Hill will be here. Here's the card, though. North Texas, it's a pick 'em game over South Florida. Washington minus 10.5 over Rutgers. Michigan State minus 8.5 over UCLA. Missouri plus 3 over Alabama. Ohio State minus 14 over Illinois. Ole Miss minus 32.5 over Washington State. Oregon minus 7.5 over Indiana. Texas minus 1 over Oklahoma. Clemson minus 14 over Boston College. Auburn plus 3.5 over Georgia. South Carolina plus 9 over LSU. And Michigan plus 2.5 over USC. There you go. Anything else you were thinking about? Anything else you... We need.
I thought about fading Florida after the big win, going to A&M, but
what's the line there?
7.5. I also think it's possible Florida with Dallas Wilson might just be better. Like that, their offense looked like it was supposed to look.
Florida beating A&M would be another good thing for the Memphis game day to town.
I obviously thought about always just fading Stanford. They go to SMU at 11 a.m. Central Time, so 9 a.m. I thought about fading that, but I don't know if you can trust SMU to beat anyone by 3 scores. Was there anything else we were contemplating? I thought about taking 9 points with Temple at home against Navy. I also thought about laying 6.5 with Dan Mullen against Air Force, but I don't love Dan as a favorite. Dan's an underdog machine.
All right, we got to take a break. Chris Harrington next, and then Right of the Night Trivia. Really busy Thursday on the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.